Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Welspun Specialty Solutions Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by JM Financial. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashutosh Somani from JM Financial. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yes, thanks, operator, and welcome everyone to the call. I will first thank Welspun Specialty for giving JM Financial the opportunity to host today's call. Without much ado, I'll hand over the call to Mr. Salil Bawa, Head Investor Relations, to introduce the management. Over to you, Salil.
Thank you very much, Ashutosh. Good afternoon to all of you. On behalf of Welspun Specialty Solutions Limited, I welcome all of you to the company's Q1 FY25 results earnings call. Along with me today, we have Mr. Anuj Buraki, Chief Executive Officer and Whole-Time Director, Mr. Brijvir Singh, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Gautam Chakraborty, Head Investor Relations for Welspun Corp, and I also have Mr. Percy Birdy, CFO for Welspun Corp. We hope you have had a chance to review the investor presentation that we filed with the exchanges. It is also available on the company's website. During the discussion, we may be making references to this presentation. Please do take a moment to review the safe harbor statement in our presentation. As usual, we will start the forum with opening remarks by Anuj, and then we'll open the floor for your questions. Once the call gets over, should you have any further queries that remain unanswered post the earnings call, kindly feel free to reach out to any one of us. With that, I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Anuj Buraki. Over to you, Anuj.
Thank you, Salil. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm pleased to welcome you all to the Q1 FY25 earnings call of Welspun Specialty Solutions Limited. In today's discussion, I would briefly cover the macroeconomic situation, followed by industry scenario, and then the performance of the company before we start the interactive session. Talking about the macroeconomic situation, as per the latest World Economic Forum outlook, despite multiple challenges, including higher interest rates to counter inflation, the global economy remained resilient. The IMF, in its latest projections, expects the global economic growth to hold steady at around 3.2% in 2024 and 2025. India's growth forecast was increased by 0.3% for financial year 2025 to 6.8%, and it remained unchanged at 6.5% for financial year 2026. Strength in India's growth forecast is backed by expected strong domestic demand and rising working-age population. Meanwhile, the Reserve Bank of India, in its June monetary policy, has raised its real GDP growth forecast for the current financial year 2025 to 7.2% from 7.7% earlier. The FY24 actual GDP growth expanded to 8.2%, higher than the expectations. Coming to the stainless steel industry, on the consumption side, as per World Stainless Steel Association, overall stainless steel consumption is likely to grow at 3.9% and 3.2% in 2024 and 2025, respectively. SS long products consumption, after a very muted growth of about 1% in 2023, is likely to grow by 3% in 2024 and 3.3% in 2025. While the macro outlook points indicators towards better future visibility, few ongoing challenges have been impacting the short-term business prospects, especially on the export front. Concentration of container traffic on China-US corridor, owing to export surge, has been affecting availability of containers and freight costs, while ongoing Red Sea crisis also continue to affect shipment transit time and freight. We, however, expect the situation to normalize in due course. Domestic markets remain strong as the central government spend on infrastructure, energy and other strategic sectors is creating a demand thrust in the country. The growth spend is expected to continue at same or a higher pace, thereby benefiting the domestic industry. Sectors like power gen, energy, defense, space, petrochemicals, etc. remain the key focus area. In this context, let me also highlight that in yesterday's budget unveiled by the Honorable Finance Minister, announcements were made on plans to develop high efficiency advanced supercritical thermal power project in the country. This, along with further focus on nuclear energy, augur well for us, as we believe this will create incremental demand for critical applications. In addition, it is projected that 80 gigawatt of capacity in thermal power shall get built in the country over the next decade to feed the growing demand. Such developments will bring direct benefit to the company's business prospects and the volumes. Talking about key highlights of operational and financial results for quarter 1 FY25, SS Steel Products sale volume rose by about 31% year on year to about 4,750 tons. Pipes and tube sales volume rose by about 2% to about 1,140 tons. Current order book stands at 6,791 tons, valued at about 303 crores compared to about 170 crores at the end of last quarter. Total income during the quarter stood at 168 crores and EBITDA stood at 16.8 crores. PBT and PAT for same period stood at 2.6 crores and 1.9 crores respectively after deferred tax deduction of 0.65 crores. I am happy to share that recently the company bagged an order from BHEL for supply of 1,400 tons of seamless stainless tubes for NTPC Talcher 660 megawatt 2+2 plant supercritical thermal power project. This is the outcome of our strong focus on new product development and is a testimony of our quality products and execution capability. The outcome is not only coming out, successful through a very stringent evaluation process by BHEL and NTPC, including integrated demo production, but also being able to successfully bag the first large order placed for the first time in the country. In the same philosophy, we have also booked an order for a very high value nickel copper bars of grade K400 from a German customer. During the quarter, the company produced, delivered and commercialized another high value grade XM19. On the sustainability front, our focus remains intact. We have been gradually progressing in our endeavors of reducing our carbon footprint. We have achieved an overall reduction of 13% in energy intensity compared to financial year 24. Also, contribution of renewable energy in total electricity has improved to about 35% in quarter 1 financial year 25. We continue to emphasize on our focus on developing and delivering critical and value added grades with aim to further strengthen our position in niche stainless and nickel product segment. Simultaneously, we continue to improve our presence on new geography and territory. After achieving a complete turnaround during financial year 24 with consistent profitability, there is a very sharp focus towards increasing the capacity utilization during current year. With this, I would request the moderator to open the floor for question and answer, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Miraj from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I have two sets of questions. First one being that there was an announcement a month ago in which Gujarat Pollution Control Board had asked you to stop the facilities, stop the facility in Bharuch. So have we shut down the productions over there, or how have we responded to the query that they had taken up? Because in that release, they had clearly mentioned to shut down the facility from 5th of July.
So, Mr. Miraj, I'm really thankful that you asked this question. I was really keen, you know, to openly share this one, particular incident to bring about full clarity and transparency as to what really happened there. So, this visit in first place was an outcome of our own application for our environment clearance application. And when the visit happened, we as a company, as an establishment, there are all treatment plants and fume extraction systems, everything is in place. And obviously there cannot be any systemic deficiency. And that is how we run our operations very, very responsibly. What happened then was a one-off breakdown, which also got overlooked, wherein some amount of effluent got seeped, you know, through a transfer trench and reached to within plant drain. Now, environment-wise, it definitely means a non-compliance, whether it is an outcome of an accident or a breakdown. And GPCB, Gujarat Pollution Control Board, these days, I mean, they, without any slightest of a compromise, did what they were supposed to do under the rules. They would not go by whether it's an accidental happening or a systemic failure. Let me also share, this particular thing was fixed within no time, and that would not have been possible if it was a systemic issue. Then, after that, as per the rules, they visited us again, and the provision of Pollution Control Board provides for change of 15 days notice of direction to a 3 months notice of direction. The final revocation happens after the visit will be again conducted to see the sustenance of the measures that have been taken. So as per the rule, they have to convert it to a 3 months direction, which has been done. And now we are hoping towards the end of August or beginning of September, they would again come to check the, to check the same thing and then give a final revocation. Interesting part in between is that since the whole process was started for EC clearance and our EC application was still under consideration and pending, on our request, we got the same team to visit again in the beginning of this week to make a assessment again regarding the EC application. The same team visited, which is now the third visit, I can call it. And we are, what we are aware of is that, they were pretty satisfied and, you know, the recommendation letter would go anytime. So what I want to really assure you that this, you can call it a, one-off accidental case which led to something, but as a company, we are 100% dedicated towards our environment, responsibilities. And that is how you see that, you know, we are continuously investing into green power and things like that. And so I would request that this may be taken as, you know, one-off accidental case. And also not a single day the production stopped, because the notice of direction was a 15 days notice wherein they had expected us to fix up things and report back. And for which probably we took less than 2 days to really submit the compliance. So this is about it.
Understood. So there has been no shutdown in that. We've cleaned up the issue and we've responded to their request as well. I just want to understand over here that how does this impact for us getting for future orders? Because mainly when we look at the international clients, they are very much ESG compliant or want to, you know, have a very key focus on such issues in which there are small breakdowns happening. So has there been any issue regarding that?
So I can also, since you asked, generally I may not get an opportunity to speak about that, but you see, as a practice, as a responsible company, what we do proactively is when something like that happens and we bring it to the public domain, which is a necessity, we also get in touch with our main customers and give them a download of what really happened. And let me also tell you that, you know, any customer, though they are very sensitive towards environmental compliances, but at the same time, once explained, you know, in the right manner, in right transparency, they are equally appreciative of the fact that, you know, the company is accountable, responsible, and completely committed, you know, to the environment objectives. So I think on that front, we have neither faced nor we expect to face, you know, any kind of dent to our order booking capabilities or our relationship with the customer or in any manner.
Understood. Okay. And so the next question is regarding this high-value nickel-copper order that you just spoke of from a German company. Could you just let us know the size of this order?
Well, the size of this order at present is about $500,000, but which is a validation supply. Again, as it happens in this field, that once you have supplied the validation bars. Very successfully and of the right quality, you know, then that opens up the doors for not just volume increase for this particular customer, but also for other customers when you have this reference, you know, to share.
Understood. Okay. And just one final question before I get back in the queue. In the current quarter, sir, our finance cost has shot up drastically. It is at 10 crores. We just want to understand why has this gone up? What was the requirement for borrowings over here, or why has it gone up so much?
So, Miraj, what has happened in this particular? Generally, our finance cost is around 8.5 crores, which this time has increased by about 1.5 crores. But this is not a permanent increase to the cost. What happens is when incidentally in this quarter there were some. I would say increased number of vendor bill discounting that has happened, and which happens for, let's say, a period of 90 days or 180 days. But then the cost is recognized over a period. So this quarter we had some elevated amount of such discounting, but going forward this will get flattened. So, you know, our finance costs would remain in line with what they are.
Understood. And any guidance on how we are going to bring down the debt in what period, or how long would it take?
You see, our long-term debt, which is to the tune of 183 crores, and which will start falling due from this financial year and also some in the next financial year. So we definitely expect, from the internal accruals, profit and cash flow, we'll be able to pair this.
Understood. Okay. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you so much for answering my question, sir.
Thank you, Murad.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a gentle reminder. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Chirag Jain from Yogya Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions. So coming firstly to the nickel and chromium. So what percentage of overall raw material the nickel and chromium account for?
So Mr. Chirag, I think that's probably I will need to scan through a lot of documents to really get that answer, because we produce lots and lots of grades. And yeah, you're right. I mean, stainless steel is all about nickel and chrome first, and then the rest gets added in various proportions. So I would not have that calculation in front of me right now, but I can say that, you know, the very popular ones, which comprise quite a significant portion of our production and sales, would comprise of approximately 10% nickel and approximately 16 to 18% of chrome.
Got it. Fair enough. 10% for nickel and 16 to 70% for chromium. Okay.
Oh, I'm not talking of amount or you know, the value. I'm saying whatever we sell contains approximately by weight 10% of nickel and 16 to 18% of chrome.
Yeah, yeah, that works. Secondly, from the company's perspective, so what has changed for the company from the last cycle internally? Because there was a huge change in the company had over the last few years. So wanted to understand the perspective, how have we changed from the previous down cycle to this cycle, and how we see it moving forward. So there are three parts to it.
So you, if I have understood your question correctly, you want to understand that what has happened in last 4 to 6 quarters compared to the erstwhile period when the company was not doing well or making losses, and then, you know, this turnaround. So is this what you want to understand?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think I have been covering this in almost every quarter discussion that we have been doing. But I mean, just to summarize for you that, first of all, sometime back, let's say three years back, when the company decided to revamp the whole business strategy and go about only high value add products, not only on seamless pipes and tubes, but also on the steel plant, is where the story started to change. Now, this is a segment which is niche. At the same time, it has its own operational challenges, approval challenges, getting the right kind of experts to run the operation, getting the right kind of marketing setup. So it's a bit slow process, but then once it starts lapping, you know, then the progress will be faster. So I think over the last 6 to 7 quarters, that is the process which went on and which continues, you know, as we produce and deliver new products and, you know, build more and more capability for our future growth and expansions.
Okay, fair enough. Secondly, on the future side, so once we are, I think we are done with the value-added operational approval process and the expert that we need in place, so how competitive would we be in for the next 2, 4, 5 years, upcoming 4 to 5 years? So that's the second part of the question.
So I think, Mr. Chirag, see, the process that we employ is as good or as bad as any other great company producing the similar products would employ in the world. Okay. Now, obviously, our capacity utilization, for the understandable reasons, is lower than, you know, what it can be, and on which we are very focused, and, you know, we are very clear that, you know, we are working on increasing our capacity utilization. So obviously it will bring more efficiency on our costing, and that is how, you know, our future profitability also is expected to be better on this account as well, as we reach towards more and more capacity utilization. So I think on the competitiveness side, you know, I don't see any challenge, you know, to the company.
Okay. So are we seeing increasing number of approvals to Indian steel makers in the segment that we operate in?
No. So if we talk of approvals and accreditations, there are two kinds. One is where the customer specific approvals are there. Like, for example, if you have to supply to National Thermal Power Corporation power plants, then it is they who come into picture. At the same time, they also want, you know, an accreditation by the Boiler Board, which is called well-known steel maker and well-known tube maker. So every customer, whether it is domestic or it is, you know, global, might have, you know, different processes for approvals and validation. Some might conduct audits, some might, you know, want to buy a validation supply and then test the material. So, but by and large, I can say in this field, you know, any customer that you want to supply to, the company has to go through some or the other kind of an approval or validation process.
Got it. So now we have in place. So how do we see the utilization levels improving over the next 3 years? So what would be the current utilization levels that would be currently, and how do we plan to increase them forward?
So I can say, you know, I think in the last call also, I spoke about this. Our current utilization erstwhile, in case of steel plant, was less than 30%, and in case of pipe, less than 50 to 60%. The guidance that I gave during the last call, and which we still, you know, which we still are holding good, in this financial year we expect you know, revenue growth of anything between 20 to 30%. So this is what you know, this is what I would like to maintain.
Got it. Secondly, on the parentage part, so we have the Welspun Corp parentage that we use. So as I checked about the tender that we apply for, so we need to be profitable, or we need to be have some eligibility to apply for it. So do we apply it through parent, or we apply for tenders in our company name?
So first, you know, this this tender is nothing to do with Welspun Corp. The routine business is independently handled, and any tender or any customer orders or any credentials that are to be provided are of Welspun Specialty only. So this tender also is clearly applied, bid, option, participation, everything has been done by Welspun Specialty, and you know, accordingly the tender has been awarded.
So they don't look at the past. We try to portray our current capacity to only.
No, so see, first of all, to get an approval from BHEL, you have to have a positive bottom line, which the company has a positive bottom line for last 2 years. The second is the approval process goes by, you know, the product validation, plant audits, which is a very stringent one, by the way, demonstration production in front of their teams. So all that process was done. And that is, you know, when I keep talking of new product development, and so at some point we will start seeing, you know, the real benefit out of all those products that we have developed over the last 2 years. This result of getting this large order is not overnight. You know, the company had been working on developing this very, very critical grade of product, you know, during last 2 years. And that is what eventually, you know, could convince NTPC that these kind of critical tubes also can be produced in the country in an integrated manner, right from the steel making to the final tubes. So I think there are larger considerations behind, you know, the selection of a mill for such critical applications than just, you know, the past history of a company.
Fair enough. So our parent is also somewhat...
Sorry to interrupt. Please follow the question queue for your next question. The next question is from the line of Radha from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yes, sir. Hi. Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question was, we mentioned about the NTPC order, 1400 metric ton. So in the last quarter, you had mentioned that we had got the approvals, and I believe that this would be the first order received by us from their end. So, could you mention what is the execution period for the same, and have you already booked the raw material for this order?
So, this order, as per the order terms and conditions or tender terms and conditions, has to be delivered by the December of 2024, and we are very well planned for it, and this will be delivered, you know, ahead of time.
Alright, so secondly, the realizations for this order seems to be at 8.5 lakhs per metric ton, which I believe is higher than the realizations that we are getting from the current stainless steel pipes that we are selling. So what would be the margin difference that we would earn from this order vis-a-vis the orders that we are executing in stainless steel pipes?
So I think one is, you know, the value probably you're calculating along with the GST. So, you know, the real average price, if you look at, is not 8.5 lakhs. It is lesser. Having said that, this is again a high-value product. And you see, not just by the price, because then when it is high value, obviously it has a cost to produce. But what we anticipate in terms of benefits that are going to come are the operational benefits. Because when you produce something of similar nature, you know, in longer campaigns, obviously it brings a lot of efficiency to the operations, to the process. And that is where we see that, you know, we are going to get benefited. And obviously, having such a large, you know, run of business wherein the steel will also be made in the same steel plant. So as an integrated process, I mean, this is going to be, you know, a very good execution that, you know, we are looking forward to see.
Understood. So secondly, I would like to talk about what are our plans, or is there, I mean, how much can we reduce the conversion and other fixed costs as and when we increase the utilization? So also, could you please highlight that at current capacity utilization, how many employees are there? And for full utilization, how much more, you know, we need to increase the headcount?
I tell you, first of all, on the consumables and the cost that you spoke about, you see, the realization is a factor of market, and the same product which was selling at an X price 1 year back will have a Y price now and will have a Z price probably after 1 year. Okay, so we cannot really control the market movements. Now, on the consumption side of it, just to give you an idea that, you know, our consumables on an average, I'm saying holistic, the, you know, for the whole business, is something like, you know, 15,000-16,000 rupees a ton, and which has remained stable, you know, within this range over the last 5-6 quarters, you know, that I've been seeing. But as I said earlier in one of the other questions, that as the utilization will go up, obviously, you know, there will be better efficiency on the cost of consumables. To that extent, we are very sure. Otherwise, you know, given the rate of utilization, I think we are well within the, you know, norms. Now, on the people side of it, you see, to run a process, when you need X amount of people, now, whether you are utilizing that process for its full efficiency or capacity, or you are utilizing it as a little lower capacity, you still are bearing the cost of almost the full manpower. So at present, I would give you just a ballpark number. Let's say, you know, the people on the rolls is close to about 600, and that is good enough for us to, you know, to take care of our current year business plan. So we don't expect to increase our manpower. When we start hitting, you know, very high proportion of capacity to utilization, at that time, obviously, we'll have to again go through and, you know, reevaluate as to, but it will still not be very significant.
All right, sir. Sir, you mentioned in the previous participant that there was an environment clearance application that you had applied for. So, is it for any expansion of capacities that we are planning?
No, it is not for any expansion. So I just give you a background. Since the company exists since 1996, in those times, the rolling mill, especially, you know, we, like in our setup, we have a steel plant, we have a rolling mill, we have a pipe plant, and, you know, it's a full setup. In those times, there used to be a system of NOC, no objection certificate from the state government, under which the plant was built, and which is the case with many plants, by the way. Those were built in those times. Now, last year, the government came out with a notification saying that the units which are operating under those notifications or under those clearances should also apply for a fresh EC, which will not be going to the central government, which will be cleared by the state government only, which is more in the nature of regularization. So they want to make a reassessment or a revisit towards the new norms and, you know, whatever has changed in between during last 20 years, 25 years. So this is a notification that had come, and based on that, we had to apply for EC clearance, which we did. Documentation done. Theoretically, let's say, you know, on the document clearance side, everything was done. During the visit, this incident which has happened, but now, as we speak today, the EC inspection is already conducted, and we are very hopeful that a recommendation report will go to the EC issuing authorities very soon.
All right, sir. And so with respect to that BLM NTPC order, so in the last quarter you had mentioned that this is an import substitute product and we had gotten approvals in last quarter itself. So with respect to the budget announcement yesterday, where they will be jointly developing this 800 megawatt of advanced thermal plants, so what is the opportunity size for us over there? And if this is an import substitute product, are there any peers making this product? And if they are making, do they have approvals from BL or NTPC?
So I think we are talking two different things, Radha. So one is what we bagged is something called supercritical power plants, and which, you know, which we, by the, you know, design that the government has made, the expectation is that about 80 gigawatt of new capacities will get built over the next decade, which will mean, you know, huge amount of business for, you know, tubes in this category. Now, specifically, if we talk of AUSC, which is Advanced Ultra Supercritical, declared yesterday during the budget, this is a very, very high pressure and high, and that's the reason, you know, against the supercritical boiler, it is called Advanced Ultra Super. So when they add Advanced Ultra, is a new class of boilers where the temperature and the pressure goes very, very high. Now, why they do it is to increase the efficiency, you know, coal to power efficiency goes up. These kind of power plants consume very different kind of tubes and completely different from, you know, what we have booked or what we are talking about. Now, I am very pleased to also tell you that to the extent we know the design, though, of course, you know, this will now come out for larger discussions and, you know, let's say collaboration with the companies who can make these products. But to the extent we are aware of the design, I can tell you that we are capable of producing. Maybe we may have to add some process. Maybe we'll have to do some tweaking around processes and things like that. But as a company, we are definitely, you know, equipped to you know, produce the tubes that will be required for these power plants. And we are going to engage with the government very soon.
Is there opportunity size of such project?
So they have also come out with one pilot project of 800 megawatt. Because for government also is a very high investment compared to the conventional supercritical power plants. So they want to really put up one and see the performance before they really change their strategy towards having more of, you know, such power plants. I do not know exactly how much out of the total cost, which I think is pegged at about 26,000 crores, if I'm not wrong, around that. So how much would be the value of tubes, or it's very difficult at this stage to say, but yeah, it's a very high value product.
Any peers making this, sir?
Well, I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure on that, because this is a new thing. We can only tell about ourselves. Up until now, nobody has produced in India. That much I can tell you. And it's not easy to produce also.
Okay. Congratulations on that, sir. So, lastly, what is the quantum of current raw material inventory that we are having? And I'm asking in context to, because you had mentioned in previous calls that stainless steel scrap is our key raw material and the prices of that is falling. So, just wanted to know what is the quantum of raw material that we are having and the average prices of that vis-a-vis the current market prices, spot prices.
So I think, you know, you need to look at it this way. First of all, you know, our scrap stock hovers around anything between 35 to 45 crores. Now, that comes out of, you know, a cycle from ordering to delivery and its consumption, right? So we normally maintain a very optimum level to ensure that there is uninterrupted operation of the plant. Now, on the fluctuation side of it, I can tell you that we have a very strong control over our, purchase of key raw material, which are always backed up by the order, except some ground inventory, which, you always need to have in rotation. So we are not exposed to the price fluctuations very much. And on the scrap side, I can tell you, maybe with a little bit of fine-tuning here and there, but we have not seen any great change on the scrap pricing in last 4 to 6 weeks. So I think on that we are good. We are not exposed.
All right, sir. Thanks and all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a gentle reminder. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Sanjit Chawla from Shubham Ventures. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Two quick questions from my side. First, what kind of sales volume do you expect, for FY25 and 26 for both bars and pipes separately? And my second question is on your EBITDA per ton for your bars and pipes. What are your expectations on these two parts?
Ladies and gentlemen, the line from the chairperson seems to have disconnected. Please hold while we reconnect.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Shubhangi.
Yes.
Apologies, I think there was a technical error and our call also dropped out.
All right, I'll just ask Sanjit to come back.
Yes. Yes, please.
So we'll take the next follow-up question from the line of Miraj. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Miraj.
Yeah, hi. Thanks a lot, sir. Just a couple of things. The delivery time for the current order book would be the same as earlier, roughly 4 to 5 months?
Well, the delivery, now, it is all different. I would say some part of the orders are to be delivered in next 1 month's time, some in 2 months, some of them are spreading on 6 months. So, it's not directly relatable, but you see, Miraj, we continue to deliver and we continue to book more orders as well, right? So, it is what we generally track is the order backlog, which is one of the main objectives to bring in efficiency and more plant utilization. So, this time, we are having an order book of 300 plus crores, compared to about 165-170 that remained, during the entire last year. So here on, we expect, to maintain this kind of a level and also increase on our, deliverance compared to last year.
Understood. And just the second question, sir, what has led for our margins to remain in the same level, because we are expecting, improvement in margins? Is this only because of the raw material pricing that is falling, or what other is the reason that we've not really expanded on that?
If I understood correctly, you are referring to the margins going forward?
Mainly regarding the operating expenses. So the raw material costs and other operating expenses that we have, what really has caused the margins to dip in this quarter? So wanted to mainly understand that part.
So what happens, Miraj? Now, you see, as I was mentioning earlier, and we are all aware that external factors are uncontrollable, which means that a price gap between scrap and the sale price of a standard product, I'm saying just for the sake of explaining, also keeps on going up and down, depending on the demand in particular segment, depending on, particular geography and things like that. So overall, I can tell you that in last two quarters, the price pressure had been there in stainless steel and we saw the prices softening. And at the same time, the scrap prices also softened, but maybe not to that degree. And that is how you see, our margins remaining at similar level in spite of increase in our volumes. Now, what I can see is that the pricing is such a factor that, you know, after some time of a lull, we always expect, you know, some respite or some, you know, increase. So I'm sure that, you know, the pricing and the margins are going to be better as we move forward, you know, based on the, you know, the demand scenario that has been projected by the Stainless Steel Association as well as the, you know, IMF. So let's, I mean, we definitely expect better pricing and margins.
Just one final question, sir. Mainly you mentioned that the main reason for the margin dip or the realization dip is because of the raw material costs remaining low. What is the change over the past 3 months in the scrap cost? Rough percentage would be fine. I don't want to an exact figures.
So I, you know, again, there are different kinds of scrap. If we talk of only the carbon steel scrap, it's easier to really say. You know, we buy perhaps 6-7 kinds. So one of the most popular ones, if I talk about, I think in the last 3 months, the price would have come down by about 10%, 10-15%.
Okay. Understood. Yeah. That's it from my side, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks, man.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a gentle reminder. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Radha from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks again. So I wanted to understand, like Welspun Corp, you know, they, on the EBITDA side, usually they give a target. So do we have any target number to reach this year or 3 years down the line?
Well, I really wish, Radha, at some point in time, you know, I'm able to really give a very, very, you know, happy target and guidance. See, you know, everyone knows and, you know, we all appreciate that this company is on a, you know, transition mode. This is transforming from, you know, what it was 4 years back to, you know, what it is going to become. I can only say that everything what is happening is under a clear strategy. Every single product that has been taken for development is with a clear understanding of why it is being done. So, you know, going by that, this, you know, it will not be probably, you know, prudent, you know, to really throw numbers as to where we'll, you know, we'll land. But for this year, I had said in my last, you know, call also, and with which I'm still maintaining, that we will have an improvement of 20-30%, you know, on the revenue this year. Now, profitability is something which is a factor of not just revenue, but so many other things. So, you know, really difficult for me to give a guidance on that one. But this year we'll go into more capacity utilization and building capability, you know, for future.
Okay, sir. Sir, secondly, can you mention the order book split between bars and pipes?
I would say it is roughly about, just a sec, I think, about 50-50.
We are talking in terms of metric tons, right?
No, I'm talking in terms of value. In terms of metric ton, it is one-third, two-third. Because, see,
yeah.
It's obviously, you know, a much higher value product compared to steel. So,
understood. So secondly, so there is a huge business opportunity in the Saudi and the MENA region. So what is our stand on this region in terms of, especially in terms of global accreditation? So where do we stand or any plans? How do we look at that opportunity?
So if you look at our product, rather we do stainless steel pipes and tubes, and which goes into various applications, including, I would say, in oil and gas refineries as well as offshore platforms. But the pipes do not get supplied as it is. You know, at least our range of product that we produce or are capable of producing there is a very rare chance that, you know, you will be able to supply, except for the standard scheduled pipes, which we are not really interested because they are low value. Now, when we produce tubes for heat exchangers or for condensers or those kind of things, normally the orders from whether it is MENA region or from Europe or from, you know, anywhere, South America, the orders are booked by the fabricators. Now, fabricators could be the Indian fabricator, somebody like an L&T or a Godrej or a, you know, Anup Industry or any of those, or it can be a, you know, Italian fabricator like Brembana or Bellelli or any of those companies. Now, they would come out after bagging the order to buy tubes, and which in lot of cases, based on the fabricator's credibility, the actual buyer do not, you know, interfere into the tube selection. But in some cases they do, and we have done so many projects where the fabricator and we as a mill have jointly approached the final buyer and got our approvals done. So I think that's not a limitation, and as we have and when we have an opportunity, whether from, you know, MENA region or from, you know, Saudi Arabia, I mean, we are open and we are, you know, fully equipped to do that.
Any other or new customer additions in the last few months?
Our focus, as I said, you know, we are doing three things right now. One is the upgradations to our processes, bringing more and more best practices, you know, so that internal processes improve and our, you know, quality for critical products, they, you know, that also gets more and more augmented. The second is actually new products development, which, you know, you would have seen that every quarter we are doing something or the other. And, you know, all those products in our bag would eventually, you know, give us the opportunity to, you know, book some or the other good business in times to come. So NTPC is one of the examples. And third is our focus on increasing our capacity utilization with the meaningful business. So, you know, it is very easy to book like low value and, you know, things like that, but we don't want to change our focus. The team is completely aligned and is completely focused on only certain level of products and above. And, you know, this strategy is working well for us.
Okay, sir. Oh, one last question. Actually, the exports mix had reduced last quarter significantly because of the container freight issue. So how is exports mix in this quarter? Are we seeing any improvement or how is the situation?
So exports still remains slow, not just for container issue. That is one part which is adding to, let's say, you know, the profitability efficiency. But at the same time, you see, for the geopolitical conditions that are there with two different wars already going around, you know, the overall sentiments are also a little dampened, especially in our, you know, one of the major markets of Europe and that region. So I think it's a matter of time. That region had remained slow for some time. The big capital expenditure or big projects are either going slow or they are on hold. And so I think once the situation gets little better, you know, I would expect a surge in demand in that region. So we are yet to see that. At the same time, for us, which we have been maintaining before also, and now also I am, you know, very, very bullish on the domestic demand and the domestic market. And I think, you know, even with, let's say, the European region going a little slow, it will not really affect our business. You know, maybe in short term we are, you know, having this, let's say, lower order intake from those regions. But going forward, I think, you know, we are very well placed. Some of the large customers there who would be buying earlier maybe from three different suppliers or four different suppliers at least are, you know, so much attached with us now that, you know, we are getting a larger share, you know, from their overall buying, which may be a little lower than what they were buying before, but then our share has improved. So we are able to still book to the expectations or the, you know, or the business plan.
So, any margin difference between domestic sales and export sales? is it like exports margins are better or between the same product?
If we generally sell, you know, exactly same product in India or in Europe, I don't see much difference. Maybe marginal, maybe depending on the application, because same product sells for three different prices in Europe also on the same day, depending on the, you know, application and things. What makes, you know, this market attractive for us is the kind of products that they buy. You know, so they buy big sizes, they buy, you know, the grades which are enriched ones. So there is no apple to apple comparison if you ask. But the basic grades of stainless steel like 304, 316, 347 things, I mean, if it is really the same product we are selling here and there, it's almost the same price.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanchit Chawla from Shubhkam Ventures. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Am I audible now?
Yeah, yeah, you are audible, Sanchit. Thanks.
Yeah, yeah. So two quick questions from my side. So, you know, what kind of sales volume do you expect for FY25 and 26 for both bars and pipes separately? And my second question is on your EBITDA per ton, what would it be for bars and pipes going forward?
So, Sanchit, one is on the volumes, you know, really difficult, but let's say, you know, the guidance is that we are hoping to grow 20 to 30% during this year on the revenue side of it. On the margins, you know, a lot will depend on how the market pans out because, you know, it is all about the stability that is expected. As we spoke in, you know, other questions also that the export market, especially Europe region, is still little unpredictable. But given our order book, our situation, I think we will be able to protect our margins. So we would be better than before, that is for sure. But to really put a number to it, I think that would not be prudent at this stage.
Can we do 10-11% kind of EBITDA margin or would be lower than that? If you could just help on the direction.
Well, you know, this might be putting words in my mouth, but then, you know, again, you see the range itself is so narrow, you know, that, you know, it's really, really difficult to say. I mean, I would hope, you know, as the, let's say, you know, head of the business that, you know, we have even better ones. But, you know, very difficult to say as to where we'll land eventually.
Sure, not a problem. And, you know, if I could just ask you this way that, you know, would we be able to do 8,000 tons kind of for pipes in FY26 and maybe 35,000-40,000 tons for bars in FY26? If you could just help me with that.
Well, we are definitely working towards that. But whether we will be able to really land at that number in financial year 26, in this business particularly, which is in its, you know, transition mode, would be, you know, not appropriate to say. As we go nearer to that period, then maybe, you know, and this, you see, the more we have experienced, the more quarters we have seen, our confidence or our, you know, predictability will also improve. So,
all right, sir.
You know, let's see that this year is going to be, you know, one of the defining years for our future strategy. So let's look forward to it.
Got it, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management from Wellspin Speciality Solutions Limited for closing comments. Please go ahead.
Thanks. So friends, as you know, we have achieved an important milestone of our journey in financial year 24 by maintaining consistent profitability throughout the year. With gradual ramp up of operation, there is significant room for further growth in our performance and progression towards market leadership. The company has already been serving various sectors with focus on further market penetration in niche value added segments and products. We are confident that business performance shall sustain and further improve on the back of new approvals, accreditations, and development of new products. I hope we have been able to address your queries satisfactorily. For any further questions, I welcome you to contact our investor relation desk. Thank you once again for attending today's discussion and looking forward to meeting you again soon. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of JM Financial, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.